Welcome to our podcast, Wise Black Nanas, Life Coaching Between the Dash. Hey, what do you do when it feels like life has thrown you a few too many challenges, knocked you down, in the bed, hard to talk about even with your best friend challenges, and it feels like the challenges are winning? Wouldn't it be nice to hear from your Nana or a stand-in Wise Black Nana? Well, they are Wise Black Nanas, Charla Walker, PhD, and Joanne Early, MS, two mature women with over 70-plus years of combined coaching and mentoring, professional human resources, and business experience. The wonderful news is, these Wise Black Nanas are still living and learning about this amazing life, about resilience and grit, gratitude and appreciation, and the extraordinary power of love and friendships, being positive and supportive, and learning from others. Welcome to Wise Black Nanas. Let's listen in.
Hello, welcome to our podcast. I am Dr. Charla Walker. On our last podcast, we shared some of our thoughts and experience related to well-being, asking the question, how are we doing? In this episode, we will be talking about more of life's between the dash.
Yeah, thank you. Welcome. I'm the other half of Wise Black Nanas, Joanne Early. And remember, this podcast is about us sharing our lived experience through our work, our lives, our coaching experience. And on this podcast, we're going to be talking about forgiveness. And we both think forgiveness is a tremendous superpower.
Most of us in our lifetime, in our foundation, as far as organized religion or if learning about the Quran, some of the key tenets that we found are in the Bible or the Quran are based on forgiveness. Throughout the Bible, there are quotes, parables, stories that we incorporate into our foundation as we learn more about religion, organized religion, or the Quran. Memorable Bible verses that I remember quite a bit when I was growing up, and I have taught my children who have taught their children.
Yeah, I have to admit that I am not one that's totally as faithful and as strong in organized religion, but I'm always on a spiritual path, so I'll just leave it at that for now. Our position, from what we're really trying to convey in this episode, is that to forgive is really the ability to let go of resentment, let go of bitterness and anger, and release those unpleasant memories and emotions about past events, things that happened either a long time ago or recent, but things or people that you believe have hurt or harmed you. Instead, it's letting go of all of that bitterness. Instead, practicing goodwill and letting happiness replace hurt feelings, resentment, and anger. Instead, showing compassion, showing mercy, showing tolerance. And those are all things, again, that are talked about over and over in some of the religious materials that we study, even from very, very young ages. So in our last episode, if you remember, we talked about emotional well-being as being one of the four categories of well-being itself. And when we think and talk about forgiveness, we can't help but think that that is a huge part of our inner fabric and makeup. We all harbor some injustice or was wronged by something or someone doing something to us at some point in our lives or some circumstance. And let's face it, we've all got some unresolved conflict and regret. Heck, sometimes it's just because of misunderstandings, which if we don't correct those things, they can get bigger and generate a bigger sense of offense or emotional hurt. And while I hate to admit this, many, many times it's because of somebody in our family, something that's happened that's family related. Heck, it could be because of family status, hierarchy, fear, jealousy, just stigma. And sometimes we're bullied by our family, some of our closest family members, our friends, some kind of relationship, things that happened to us in school. All of those things are examples of intentional or unintentional harm. And we think a lot of times this unintentional harm are the very things that just go on and grow. Sometimes it's just the person doesn't even know that they've been intentional or something's happened that's hurt someone else through unintentional actions, but they have caused harm. And we're not talking in any way about, physical harm or abuse. We're talking and using harm here pretty loosely, to just give examples of how big and mostly little things can turn into big things. And of course, sometimes our own pride keeps us from forgiving and also keeps us from accepting forgiveness.
Oh, wow. Joanne says a lot.
Yeah,
there
that
are
was a
all,
lot.
yeah, there are all types of relationships. And I think the most trying ones are to try to resolve are the ones that are in the family and not necessarily related to work. But, some of those relationships, they do include work. And relationships of any kind are very, very hard. At times, conflicts e emerge within those relationships because we are all individuals, are diverse, and we have differing views, viewpoints. Our values are different, our opinions are different, our behaviors are different. And of course, what would we be without different expectations of the same thing? And that's around communication. If we don't communicate our expectation, one of us or one of the parties is going to walk away with, "Oh, I thought you said that. No, you said that."
Yep,
So that's when
yep.
conflict starts.
Absolutely.
When we ignore our issues and do not have, excuse me, do not resolve those conflicts, they can grow and cause bitterness, resentment, and anger that multiply and run over. Resolving these issues maturely, maturely, okay, we're all mature here, okay. But do we really all handle work-related and personal conflicts maturely? Keep the answer to yourself. Though effective communication, mutual respect, recognizing differences, seeking clarity, and asking empathy, that goes a long way to restoring, excuse me, a harmonious outcome rather than holding on to. I'm laughing because it all makes sense. It's not funny, but I'm just thinking of myself as a human being and some of the things that I hold on to. So holding on to the pain, being silent, and being vengeful. Those actions cause the issue to continue.
Yeah, they do, 'cause nobody wins. And I agree with you. Sometimes we don't treat these things as maturely as they should be treated. And everybody gets mad, everybody retreats and is silent. We all have the potential of holding grudges and being vengeful. The key is that in order to, like you're saying, in order to grow and get stronger and live a more positive life and be able to deal with conflict, is to practice more conflict resolution at home and at work. I tell you, though, it's those family situations, though, that I think, me personally, I think they're harder, way harder to deal with than work situations. What do you think just about family stuff?
Oh, you would have to ask me. I don't get a pass on this one.
Just
Well, I'm gonna be, completely honest because this is Wise Black Nanas and just talk about a situation of forgiving or forgiveness that is 31 years in my life. I have a sibling who is my sister, but she prefers to be called my half sister because we don't have the same mother. We have the same father, but the same mother. I'm kind of like the outside child. But we did form a what I thought was a close relationship for a time. We, traveled together. We did lots of things together, had lots of fun together. And so then one of those nights of wine and brie cheese, we decided that we talked about starting a business. And both of us are seamstress. And so this required us to make items, handmade items, for sale. And we, did all the things, business name, business cards, all the things all the legal things that require you to be in business. So, worked hard, did a lot of good sales. We did a showcase and we were very, very successful for our first time. I mean, more than we had anticipated. But there was something that kind of felt strange in the celebration. So when we got back to my apartment, we decided to have a glass of wine and talk about business and what was the next step. And at this time, she decided to let me know that she really had no intentions of going in business with her half sister. So as of that evening, we were no longer in business together.
But y'all were
After we
already
left,
in business.
thank you, thank you, thank you, and very successful. We did well for new business. Revenue outweighed expenses, et cetera. And I was in shock. I was like, "You're kidding, right?" And she says, "No, I never really, I mean, intended to go in business with you. I mean, you have illegitimate children and you're not married to their father.
Gee.
And I don't want to be associated with you." And that hurt so much.
Gosh,
Not only
yes.
was she saying my children were illegitimate, I was too. And I knew that. And hey, I don't know what happened in 1952 between the parties, and I don't care. So, but to take it out and use it as the excuse on my children that they were, her words were bastards, but I tried to clean it up a little bit. Just cut too deep, really too deep. And I was done. I mean, that night, the name of our business was shut down. Everything, bank account, everything in like 2 days, everything was gone. I gave her everything, fabric, thread, everything. I didn't want anything to do with anything. I didn't want to touch anything. And that was my way of dealing with that situation.
Right.
And it was hard, you know, because I felt as though she was my sister. She wasn't my half sister. She wasn't my stepsister. She was my sister. But to say that she couldn't have anything to do with me because of my status or my children's status really stung. And I just, and it's been 31 years.
Gee.
I have not seen, heard from her. I have not reached out because why would I? She doesn't want anything to do with me.
Right.
And I've forgiven her from professional perspective, but from human personal perspective, I can't say that I have completely. It's probably at a 80, if that high. And I don't know, that's not what we're talking about because forgiveness is golden, and it is very important that you release that burden. But I don't have a burden. At least I don't think I have a burden. I have a hurt still. I have a hurt still because we could have been so dynamic as a team, as a businesswoman, both highly educated, smart, but didn't turn out that way. But all things happen for the best. I have a fantastic business partner, Joanne Early, and we are doing Wise Black Nanas and writing and doing a lot of other things. So I know
Well,
there's still some forgiveness that needs to happen. But I'm not stepping out to be the first one to extend.
Well,
And I know that's my issue.
see, I would say to you that your example is an excellent example of a lot that happens and goes on, because that is a huge challenge in how to resolve that, even how to talk about it, and I applaud you for talking about it, because it's still something that you're living with. And you and I both know you would love to have a different outcome from this. And sometimes we don't get there. Sometimes we don't get there. It doesn't mean that it's less painful and that it's easier to deal with. It's just that it's an unresolved, an unresolved issue.
And I
So
think it's okay.
I hear what I hear exactly what you're saying.
And you know, audience, I get that it's forgiveness and you should do the best. And I have done the best that I could do at this time. So I'll continue to work toward whatever, because there's no from my perspective, there is no conflict to resolve. What was said is said. It was heartfelt. There has been no effort in 31 years to say I'm sorry, and I'm not going to say I'm sorry because I didn't do anything wrong. But there it is in a nutshell. Joanne, how about you?
Yeah, we all have our things, and I'll just say one last thing to you're talking about your sister. I'm hopeful. I'm hopeful that before you don't have the opportunity that one of you, we'll reach out to the other and try to resolve what, whatever, if nothing else, but for the sake of, I gave it one more try. I gave it one more opportunity to try to resolve this, and it may or may not work. And that's just the reality. But I'm hopeful. me and looking at the bright side all the time, and I know that's what you're looking at too. So we'll keep to keep it keep checking on this one.
We're
I'm
both
just
coaches, so you will coach me through it, right?
Yes, absolutely. Well, I'll just share with you something that happened in our family not too long ago. This is fairly recent. I know we go back a lot and talk about things that happened many years ago, but it's an example again of how things stay with us. And we're always hopeful that whatever we share, will be helpful to someone. So at the end of 2023, my oldest brother passed away. And he was a Vietnam era veteran, a captain in the army, who was also long suffering from the effects of alcoholism and trauma that was caused by PTSD. So when I was asked if I would prepare a few words to speak it on at his service from family, I was really challenged with that. I was challenged with it because my brother had not been a very good person. He hadn't been a good father to his family, to his children, to his wife, or anybody that had been in a relationship with him. He just wasn't a good person. And basically, I didn't even like him as a person. I just tolerated him as a family member. So I remembered when I was living in Florida. Before I moved back to California, I had hosted Thanksgiving at my home. So he came down from Augusta, where he was living with his girlfriend, and to attend the Thanksgiving holiday and attend the meal. And so I'm ripping around in the kitchen, trying to get Thanksgiving on the table, and he was actively trying to get my attention. Of course, I had been kind of ignoring him all along. So he wanted to tell me about the work he was doing with veterans and how he was having some success with his group, and then how he himself was doing Alcohol Anonymous and working the steps of AA. So he also wanted to know a little bit more about my work and some recent training that I had received as a recovery coach. So he wanted to know a little bit more about that. So I was kind of sort of halfway talking to him about recovery coaching was about helping people remain sober and helping them, be able to achieve some of the goals that they wanted to achieve as a result of being free of alcohol. So anyway, so I really was trying to ignore him and get dinner on the table. And everybody was kind of wondering what's taking so long. It's time to eat. So I finally just stopped and paid attention, gave him my full attention, and he shared with me that one of the steps that in AA was to make amends and to forgive someone that you had harmed or hurt and asking them for forgiveness. So I listened to him and realized that this is what he was really trying to convey and say to me. So I told him, yes, I'll forgive you. And we even hugged. And so then I could get back to, to my dinner. But as I thought about it after the holiday, and as I had time to really reflect on what he was talking about, I realized what he was doing and that he really was serious in trying to be forgiven for some actions and behavior that he had displayed. Which caused just a lot of disrespect and hurtful feelings to me, my brother, and my brother's wife. So I forgave him, and I let him know that I had forgiven him, and I really understood what he was trying to say, and that I would help him in any way that that I could. So I felt it was important to tell this to his family because I know that he had done a lot of harm to his children and to his former wife. And I just wanted them to know that he had every intention of conveying to them the same level of forgiveness, but he just didn't get to it. And I wanted them to to hear from a family member that we were capable of forgiving him, and I wanted them to at least be able to forgive him in whatever way that they could, and to just let them know that their father did talk about how he wanted to make amends to his family. He just didn't get to it. So I think about that. I've thought about it a lot, and I'm hopeful that they will at some point be able to really resolve their feelings. Or they could be like you, Dr. Charlotte, just not able to to forgive or to even have that experience, because he's gone now. So there's no way that he can actually reach out to them. So I was just kind of trying to bridge that gap, huge gap that was present in there in our family. So I hope they do, just as I hope you're able to somehow get to some type of resolution with your sister. So with that in
Okay.
mind, just thinking,
Well, thank you for that blessing.
what kinds of things do you think, just can help us boost our well-being by actually boosting ways or starting ways that we can actually forgive?
I think one of the key things is that we often forget that we're so focused on the other person and what they did to us and what they may have done to us that we forget to forgive ourselves. Whatever our part was, whether it was 1% or 99%, there's still some forgiving in ourselves that needs to take place that helps us take ownership for the steps that we need to do if we choose, putting that in there, if we choose to move forward and try to make a difference in what has caused the conflict that needs to be resolved. Okay. Give ourselves permission to forgive. I'm thinking about this one and that seems like an easy one, but I don't think it's an easy one, particularly if you make the decision by yourself in your own counsel. You can probably come up with, justifying. But if you're going around to different folks and ask them, should I do this? Should I do that? Should I do that? It's going to be harder and harder for you to give yourself permission to forgive.
Yep, I think you're right on that one. Yep.
Yeah, accept forgiveness. You accept it whether you want it or not, but you can at least tell the person, I forgive, I mean, I accept your forgiveness. I mean, or you don't. But don't just let it hang in the air. Forgive. And then you want to seek out professional help. I know we're constantly, I guess that's our HR jobs that we had for over 30 years. They always seep in, and we always want to make sure that we're sharing with the audience, the ability to seek out resources to get the help that they need. So we are always directing you to places, faith-based places, places, excuse me, work, different kind of places, free resources. You just need to ask, and you'll be amazed at what is available to you for free.
Yeah, it just seems like it's really hard sometimes to get to. You get to the point where you at least acknowledge yourself. Okay, this is not something I can deal with or handle myself. Maybe whatever it is that you're dealing with is just too difficult to resolve by yourself, or maybe even friends that you've shared this with, or maybe you haven't shared it with them or whatever, but you need some help. And we just see sometimes a huge gap in the need for, people seeking out professional help and not getting it, and not getting it, just dealing with stuff and not getting it. And of course, there are reasons for that, as Charlotte said earlier, there are a lot of reasons for that. Sometimes it's the cost, sometimes it's access to help, sometimes it's just fear, or the stigma in seeking out help. Sometimes people can't afford to get help. And then sometimes there's a real concern about confidentiality. Who's going to know that I asked for help? Who's going to know that I sought out help? Who's going to know that I have a problem that I can't resolve? That's a huge barrier to why people don't get help. One of the things that we'll also talk about a lot, and we keep bringing this up, is when we do have jobs that offer benefits of employee assistance programs, we should use those programs. Usually doesn't cost the employee anything. You usually can get so many resources, whether regardless of what the issues are about. Your employer pays for this benefit, but we don't use it. And again, sometimes we're just nervous that, okay, maybe they say it's confidential, but it really isn't confidential. Well, I can tell you, and Dr. Charlotte can tell you, from many, 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 many years of working with the AP programs, they are confidential. Your employer does not get back a report around, the fact that Joanne came for five visits and Joanne came because, she's dealing with an issue that, is affecting her home life and work life. It just doesn't work that way. So we will continue to ask our listeners to check out your benefits and learn more about EAP programs, because they can help you really overcome a lot of the issues that you're dealing with. Anything more on EAPs, Charlotte?
Just that it's a valuable resource. You'd be surprised what is available to you for nothing or a little of nothing. And you can get some really good attorney advice, get some trust and will if you for a lot less than going to a lawyer. So it's not just for if you're having emotional issues. There's a lot of financial information
That can
that
cause emotional
can
issues.
help.
Yes, that can cause emotional.
Having your house in order is a way to of selling some of your emotional and your well-being,
Right.
because your everything is the way you want it. And you know that. So, and the people around you know it as well.
Yeah,
So,
yeah.
and that'll lead some sibling conflict. I'm sorry.
It can. It can. So again, we don't want to kind of beat this one too much, but we just want our listeners especially to realize that there are a lot of resources out there when we're dealing with, whether it's a forgiveness issue or some other type of issue, there's lots of resources out there. And if it's not a situation where you have a benefit through work, there's nonprofits that offer help, counseling. There's faith-based organizations, and they don't always, it's not always made up of the pastor or someone that you might be sitting, across the bench from in church. Many faith-based organizations use outside professional counselors and help, for services that they offer. So you just have to check out what's available to you and what kinds of things, you might need to seek out help and get that help out there. And don't be afraid to look, and don't be afraid to ask your friends and your close associates for some help, because that can also be a valuable resource.
And I just want to just add, Joanne, that one of the things I want to go back to is confidentiality. I think that people are so afraid that something's going to get out about, this or that, but they don't forget, they don't think about the water cooler conversations they have, or the whispers they have, the ground, what I call groundhog, like when they're over the partition in the cubicle, those conversations, what they're having that are supposed to be confidential. Okay, so that's not confidential. When you go to EAP, it is confidential. So just think about that.
We can't stress that one enough. Really can't. Really can't. All right. So now that we, gave you some pointers on, just how to explore and find resources to help you, we don't want to diminish the fact at all that forgiveness is hard. It's a really hard thing. And it's not immediate. It takes time. And it takes more than one person to enter into any type of forgiveness situation. And that's a tough thing to do. It takes a lot of self-reflection. It takes prayer, support of friends and family, and you to pull up, whatever superpowers you can pull up in order to help you be able to move forward. And we are certainly not condoning or downplaying the harm and the abuse that's caused by people. And it could be situations where, it's serious and it's beyond merely forgiving. And those are sometimes some of our most complex situations, and certainly issues to even consider forgiveness. Gosh, who can forget Nelson Mandela, who was imprisoned in South Africa during the height of the end of toward the end of apartheid, who suffered immensely after 27 years when he left Robben Island Prison. He wrote the following about how he felt. And it goes something like this: as I walked out of the door toward the gate that would lead to my freedom, I knew if I didn't leave my bitterness and hatred behind, I'd still be in prison. Just some powerful, powerful language and thoughts from Nelson Mandela.
It makes you think and reflect on the issues that you have or nothing. 27 years.
It really does. It really, really does. As I mentioned earlier, almost everybody that knows me, knows that I'm constantly on a spiritual path, but not so much on organized religion. But I do have a reference that I refer back to a lot. And it's from a pastor. She's a woman. Her name is Cecilia Mwangi. She wrote a small little book. It's called The Power of Forgiveness. And it's such a transformative book that I refer to it many times when I need a little uplifting, and also when I need to, just kind of be grounded in, whatever it is I'm dealing with. So she tells a story about this priest who had his congregation put a tomato in a basket for everyone that they harbored any kind of resentment or anger or bitterness, revenge, just who they hadn't forgiven. Just put those tomatoes in a basket for a few weeks. So even after 1 week, the tomatoes started getting smelly. They were starting to rot. And some of those baskets were of considerable weight because some people had a few more things than other people. So the parishioners started to complain because they started to actually feel a tangible consequence of their actions. And what they didn't realize was that all of the weight of the tomatoes, the smell, the flies, the bugs, all of that was controllable. They could all stop that, but yet they continued to carry around those rotten tomatoes. So the lesson of this story is to kind of bring alive the weight and the burden that we can see, feel, smell, and touch the impact of what happens when we withhold forgiveness. The freedom and relief that we experience, it's just not there because we're carrying around those heavy baskets of smelly tomatoes. And the tomatoes is really just a metaphor for a lingering, kind of toxic thing that just gets worse and worse as time goes by. So can you imagine just for 3 weeks carrying around a basket of smelly tomatoes?
How heavy is your basket of tomatoes? Is it light, medium, or heavy? Okay. Is your answer heavy? Then you have some cleaning to do. You need to take a look at your basket, take out the rotten tomatoes, and put fresh tomatoes in there to lighten your load. Start somewhere with forgiveness actions that you can really do right now. All right. Okay. Anything to add to that, Joanne?
Yeah, just something to think about how you can take a simple story like that and you make it a visual. Every time I read that story, it's almost like I could smell the tomatoes, almost like I could smell the tomatoes, and certainly motivates me to start thinking about, do I have some tomatoes that I need to start getting rid of? Another way to think about this is to think of little kids, little children. I live in a household where there's a little 6-year-old, and I think about her all the time. When she gets mad at somebody on the playground because either they pushed her or she can't play with them or they're not my friend or whatever, she might pout for a little while, and before you know it, she's back playing with whatever kid or child it was that, she took some kind of bad feeling toward. They go right back to playing. They've already forgotten whatever it is that impacted them. And they seek out and go ahead and play with the offending child. So if we were just able to move on like that, not that every situation is similar and we've got, big issues and we've got small issues. But if we as a world or as a community or as a family or as a group of people could just not let everything, get us to the point where we're holding anger and resentment, toward other people, just think, what kind of a different world we might be. Because somehow as we get older, we kind of start retreating from that little kid mindset. We take things a lot more serious. We don't just go back to the way that it was and just move on. We let things fester and build and become even more rotten as those tomatoes in the basket became. But just some things to think about, just some thoughts,
Not every time you get stuck, think about that heavy load of rotten bass tomatoes in the basket.
Yes, just think about that. So that's our episode number 6 on forgiveness. Just some thoughts, maybe a little different take on forgiveness. We really want to thank you for your support of our podcast. Your comments and suggestions on Facebook and directly to us are very, very much appreciated. We hope that you've gained even one insight or heard something that inspires you to learn more and to do something. In other words, to take some action. We know this podcast is not for everybody, and it is for a lot of somebodies. So, Dr. Shirley, you want to leave us with our Nanaism?
Sure. Our nanism for this episode is, it is not an easy journey to get to a place where you can forgive people. But it is such a powerful place because it frees you. And that's by Tyler Perry. Thank you and take care. And we look forward to you listening to our next podcast. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for tuning into our podcast, Wise Black Nanas. New programs of Wise Black Nanas are on the 1st and 15th of each month. Listen in as you learn more about Wise Black Nanas, Dr. Sharla Walker and Joanne Early. They are everyday nanas. They are not famous, not celebrities or rich, well, rich in life and its experiences. We want you to come back. Tell your friends. So, look for Wise Black Nanas podcast wherever you find your favorite podcasts. Learn more about them and the coaching services they offer at www.wiseblacknanas.com.